From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what's going on, beautiful people? Yes, Al Martin is back on the mic rocking out Current Sports on this Thursday afternoon. So glad you've allowed us to be a part of your day. We have a fantastic show in store for you all. We'll talk about the Tigers falling to the Royals last night, give you a sneak preview into tonight's Current Sports TV interview with, yes, Marcel Carruthers, who is the head coach of the Lansing Everett football team. And yes, we unleash Throwback Thursday, all of that and so much more. And hey, folks, this is a touching day in here in America, seeing as though it is September 11th, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be looking back and remembering this day. Man, I can't believe it's been now 13 years. 13 years. Can you? Wow, this is mind-boggling to me. We'll be taking your calls and getting your thoughts and memories on what this day means to you. All of that and so much more. But hey, before we dive into all of that, here is the one, the only, Alex Schar with your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners.
Good afternoon on this Thursday. I'm Alex Sharg, and these are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners for Thursday, September 11th. Eric Davis has made his decision. The number 2 ranked basketball recruit in the state and one of the best in the country has made his visits, talked to advisors, and followed his gut. Davis will be letting everyone know where he's landing on Tuesday, September 16th at 6 p.m. The announcement will take place at Arthur Hill High School in North Carolina. Davis is the number 9 ranked shooting guard in the country and number 37 overall player, according to 24/7 Sports. He listed Michigan State, Michigan, North Carolina State, LSU, UNLV, and Texas as his finalists among more than 24 offers. With a bye week, Michigan State football coach Mark D'Antonio is using the time to visit several Detroit area high schools. The Spartans are still looking to put the finishing touches on the 2015 recruiting class and are trying to get a head start on the 2016-17 class. Detroit King, Oak Park, and Orchard Lake St. Mary's are 3 schools D'Antonio will be visiting. James Shields allowed 2 hits over 7 innings on a terrific performance, and Kansas City edged Detroit 3-0 on Wednesday night to take a 1-game lead atop the AL Central. Detroit won the first 2 games of the series to pull into a virtual tie for first in the division. The teams have a 3-game series in Kansas City that starts September 19th. Rick Porcello struck out 4 of the first 5 Kansas City batters. He allowed 2 runs and 7 hits on 6 2/3 innings, striking out 7 without a walk. Detroit had an off day Thursday, followed by a 3-game home series against Cleveland. Tigers left-handed pitcher David Price starts against Cleveland pitcher Carlos Carrasco on Friday. Yesterday, Panthers quarterback Cam Newton had one of the strangest press conferences in NFL history. For some reason, Newton refused to answer several questions reporters asked him. Newton instead responded to the questions he didn't want to answer by giving the same answer over and over again. And that answer was a statement about how focused he is on Sunday's game against the Detroit Lions and defensive tackle Ndamukong Suh, whom Newton calls Donkey Kong Sue. Newton said, quote, "My main focus right now is focusing on the Detroit Lions. I think I got my hands full trying to find ways to stay protected by Donkey Kong Suh and my fellow Auburn teammate Nick Fairley," end quote. Despite the NFL saying all week that it had not seen the full video of Ray Rice punching and knocking out his then-fiancée last February, a source told the AP that law enforcement had in fact sent the tape to someone at the league office in April. In the AP story, it says a source played a voicemail from April 9th that came from a phone number at the NFL offices in which a female voice says the tape was received, expresses thanks, and says, quote, "You're right, it's terrible," end quote. The source could not tell AP for certain if anyone at the NFL offices had watched the video and had no further contact with any other NFL employees. The AP report said the source was unauthorized to release the video, but shared it unsolicited because they wanted the NFL to have it before deciding on Rice's punishment. Oscar Pistorius, the South African Olympian who shot and killed his girlfriend on Valentine's Day last year, was found negligent in the killing Thursday, but was acquitted of murder charges before the court recessed without a final verdict. The judge halted the proceedings before delivering a ruling on a lesser charge of culpable homicide and said she would resume the proceedings on Friday. The judge said, quote, "It's clear that his conduct was negligent," end quote. The dream of a Spain-USA final at the 2014 FIBA Basketball World Cup is officially over. France ended it Wednesday with a stunning 65-52 defeat of Spain in the quarterfinals, playing a near-perfect game to keep the hosts from even playing for a medal. The USA's chances to win its fourth straight international gold increased dramatically with Spain's loss. The Americans still have to get through Lithuania in the semifinals on Thursday, and the winner of Serbia-France in the gold medal game on Sunday. And finally, Mike Tyson is in Toronto this week performing his one-man show, Undisputed Truth, so he's making the rounds on local media to promote his visit. His appearance on CP24 went exactly how Mike Tyson on live television is expected to go.
Now, some of your critics would say, you know, there's a race for mayor. We know you're a convicted rapist. This can hurt his campaign. How would you respond to that?
Hey, I don't know who said that. You're the only one I heard say that. You know what I mean? And I don't have no comment to that, you know, because it's negative and you're being negative. And I met the mayor, right, and nothing they can do about it.
We actually had a really good time. We talked about George Chervalho, who's a legend in your city. Great man with whom Mike spent quite a bit of time yesterday talking about his life, highs and lows.
It's so interesting because you come across like a nice guy, but you're really a piece of
hey,
with that comment.
I don't
know
the
piece of you. That's a piece of shit.
You know, we're doing live TV.
Hey, I don't care. What are you gonna do about it?
All right, you got a show that you're doing tonight.
We are.
You know, a lot of people
we are.
Where it comes raw and it's the real truth.
Yeah, a lot of people
will be there to see your show. Just tell us a bit about it.
It speaks for itself. Everyone saw the show.
Right. It's a Broadway production. It went to Vegas. It went to actually 28 cities in the United States. And we're really, really proud to bring it here. And we're actually going to Monaco on October 9th. We're going to be in Monte Carlo.
Right. Is it nerve-wracking for you to do something like this, or is it more nervous for you to box? How does it compare?
I don't know. It's more nerve-wracking for me here talking to a rap you like you.
Come on, Mike.
No, because you're a piece.
All right.
Really?
We're gonna wrap up this interview. Thank you for coming.
Tyson met with Toronto Mayor Rob Ford on Tuesday, and the host on CP24 said some people think this could damage Ford's hope for re-election, seeing as how Mike Tyson is a convicted rapist. Tyson did not appreciate this comment. And those are your current sports quick hit headliners for this Thursday, September 11th. Time to send it back to Al to start the show. Lines are now open.
Oh, boy. Thanks a lot, Alex, for that. Again, our phone lines are open right now, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Yeah, did you hear that audio? For me, I have to side with Iron Mike on this one. I see where the journalist was trying to go with that. He tried to, sort of get a certain quote out of Mike concerning Mike's controversial past. But you don't do that by saying, yes, well, you are a convicted rapist. Come on, that's not how you phrase that question, my man. If anything, if you want to talk about how, because evidently, you know, Mike Tyson, you know, he's on this tour, you know, for Undisputed Truth. If you haven't seen it, it's actually, you know, a very, very well done, it's very well put together. I'll say that. It's HBO actually put it together. Spike Lee directed it. It's on HBO Go right now, I know. I actually took a look at it a few months ago. A very interesting production that kind of chronicles Mike Tyson's life and so on and so forth. But he's on tour right now. It had so much success with that documentary that it's on tour, you know, going to a bunch of cities, and Mike is promoting it. And, you know, I guess, you know, Mike during this whole tour, I mean, he met with Toronto Mayor Rob Ford, and, you know, this journalist wanted to talk about it and how, you know, he wanted to get a quote out of Mike as to how his meeting with Rob Ford could possibly hurt Ford's campaign. But you don't do that. You know, you don't get that quote by starting off saying, well, Mike, you're a convicted rapist. How do you think this could blah, blah, blah? Come on, my man. Hey, Mike, hey, I'm with you on that one. It's an interview that certainly, it went viral. I heard it yesterday. I was at work listening to, sports radio. Everybody played it. Man, it's controversial stuff, folks. But come on, you got to be smarter than that if you're that journalist. Funny, it's a hilarious interview, though, folks. So, all right, well, again, those are your current sports quick headliners, folks. We have a great show in store for you all. Like we do each and every Thursday here on the show, we give you all a sort of a behind-the-scenes sneak peek preview into tonight's current sports TV episode. And tonight, of course, I'll be sitting down with Marcel Carruthers, who is the head football coach for the Lansing Everett Vikings football team. It was a great time sitting down with Marcel. A great, just a really, really humble, classy guy. I actually been covering Marcel ever since I was an intern at Channel 6, and, you know, it was great just sitting down with him and picking his brain about how things have been and how his program is certainly gunning for a state championship this year. They had a really tough loss to start the year, but rebounded last week and now sit at 1-1 as they now embark on a pretty interesting matchup against Okemos tomorrow night. So, you know, you get to hear all of that. You know, we'll play the interview like we do each and every Thursday. You'll get to hear it later on today's show. So you don't want to miss that. We'll also be talking a little Tigers, and also bringing Throwback Thursday for you, as well as, of course, it being September 11th. I mean, how can, you know, that date now ring and speak true volumes to you? Because, I mean, it was such a day that I will never forget. I remember I was, you know, in middle school, and I was in sixth grade, I believe, and I'll never forget being pulled out of sixth hour by my grandmother. Didn't know what was going on throughout that entire day. A lot of my friends and classmates had been getting pulled out of school. Teachers wouldn't tell us anything. We really didn't know what was going on. I was 13 years old at the time, and just really confused as to what was going on. And I remember getting home and my grandmother putting on the news, sitting down there with my grandfather and grandmother and grandfather, along with my sister. And, you know, sitting there as my grandparents tried to explain what was going on and, you know, what it all meant and tried to put it in perspective for me. A day that really tugs in the heartstrings for many, especially those who are from New York or live in New York. And for those of you who are just, of course, live in this nation, a day that will certainly speak volumes to many of us. So we'll be talking about that moment and, you know, what it meant for us Americans and just kind of reflecting on it. And we can never forget, folks. We can never forget. We want to also get your calls and thoughts on that. Such a touching day for our nation. If you have any thoughts and memories on that day, folks, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also tweet me at Al Martin WKR and even leave a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. So we'll be talking about that and so much more, folks. Before we get to all of that, we have to start off today's show by sort of recapping a discussion that we had on the heels of yesterday's show. Of course, Barbershop Wednesday, where we debate about a hot-button topic in the sports world. And, you know, we didn't go with Ray Rice. I mean, it seems as though everybody is talking about Ray Rice. I came into work this morning, went to my mailbox, picked up the latest edition of Sports Illustrated, and they actually have on the front page cover, it says, the Ray Rice video and what it exposes about the NFL. A very interesting piece done by SI's Phil Taylor. And the picture, I guess you could say, that is on the cover of Sports Illustrated is actually a snapshot of the video. I don't know if you've seen this, Alex, at all. Have you seen it at all this morning? Really interesting stuff. It just kind of puts in perspective how everybody is talking about this story. I went out to lunch yesterday, sitting down there eating, and, you know, I look up on the TVs, and CNN has it on, you know, and Fox News is talking about it. I mean, this is a story that certainly has gone well beyond the sports realm. So, you know, this is a hot-button topic that everybody's been talking about it. We've been talking about it throughout this entire week. And for Barbershop Wednesday, we wanted to, you know, talk about the other story that seems to be getting not as much press as the Ray Rice story, and that being Penn State. Of course, Penn State, if you've been following that story, folks, on Monday, the same day that the new video of Ray Rice was released, Penn State came out, the NCAA came out and said that they will be, you know, kind of restoring Penn State, making the school bowl eligible for college football, restoring the 85 scholarships for the upcoming year. You know, just really interesting stuff. And, you know, it's a story that when it happened, I mean, it was like the Ray Rice story of its era. When it came out, it was everywhere. You know, Jerry Sandusky, such the sick human being that he is. And, you know, just seeing how that story just certainly evolved, it was a huge, huge story. And I think the NCAA is making the right move in doing this. And Alex and I kind of debated about it, started the debate yesterday. And, you know, as promised, we are going to finish up that debate right now to start our show. Alex Shark, we welcome him to the show now. How you doing, my man?
I'm doing pretty well. Yeah, it was shocking to see Ray Rice on the cover of Sports Illustrated. But what's most shocking...
Really? You think it was shocking? It wasn't shocking to me. It was just shocking that they used as the picture, you know, like a little snapshot of the video.
Well, that's what I'm saying. When was the last time you saw a snapshot of a video camera?
Exactly.
On the front of
on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, interesting stuff. And we'll certainly get to it as new details have been released about this story. But to start off, I mean, yesterday, to sort of recap our thoughts on it, I had taken the motive, as I just stated, that I thought Penn State, you know, and the NCAA restoring, you know, Penn State's bowl eligibility and giving back its scholarships for the upcoming year was the right move. You kind of took the opposite end of this, really harping on that, you know, if I could try to capitalize, and you can, you know, can state it more than I can, but to sort of put it in perspective, you kind of were against the reasoning behind Penn State getting its restoration back in both of those areas. And explain why, Alex.
Yeah, a little bit of both. Now, the reasonings they gave, the NCAA gave, and it's funny that we're talking NCAA considering the Big Ten just split off from the NCAA, so it's another imposing sanction made by the NCAA once again. But what they said was that Penn State has implemented many new human resources systems. They've done a better job with their security and their cameras and whatnot, and it seems like they're improving their facilities. Now, I went to you and said that that's completely bogus, that regardless of how much better you can get with human resources, how much better cameras you can get, you're still not going to put them in the locker rooms. It's not like you're going to be able to go ahead and put new cameras in the locker rooms. That's illegal. But how much better they can actually be getting with these quote-unquote new improvements is just astounding to me. I don't have any reasoning why the human resources could get any better from what they were before. It's the people that made those actions that were accountable. It was the administration. It was the faculty that worked at the building that did not report what was going on. It was purely the act of the people that were in charge. It had nothing to do with the university and its athletes as a whole improving.
So you don't think, I mean, I'm just trying to break this down here. So you don't think that the NCAA should have restored those scholarships and made them bowl eligible?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No.
You think they should have stuck to their guns and kept with their punishment?
Absolutely, because, I mean, obviously cases are different. But when I argued with you yesterday is this opens the door for other bans that can be uplifted. And you said, well, with the Ohio State case with Terrell Pryor receiving tattoos and Clark getting the car.
Those are different. Those are totally different
arguments.
Those
are the players that were receiving it, and the Penn State players did not do anything with this Jerry Sandusky situation. They weren't involved.
Well, I'll tell you what, Alex. Well, to first hit on your first argument here. I definitely agree with you in this aspect. Looking at the NCAA and the reasoning they gave behind restoring Penn State's football season and scholarships, they went on to say that, yes, Penn State University has made significant progress toward ensuring its athletic department's functions with integrity and so on and so forth. And that's totally that was the reason they had to give. If you look at this thing, they had to give that reason because they didn't want to get too specific as to why they did this. Now, looking into it and speculating the motive, the other motives to restoring the scholarship, I plan to simply think that the NCAA knew that they messed up with this whole thing in the first place. They punished the wrong people. They punished the players and they punished the students who ideally had nothing to do with what one man and with other football personnel did.
Now let me stop you for a second. You said that they have nothing to do
students
with
what
happened.
Had nothing to do with what happened.
Now, this wasn't reported, but you're going to tell me that there wasn't one player, you don't think any player had any idea what was going on with Jerry Sandusky?
Not at all.
You think they had no idea what was going on with Jerry Sandusky? Not one player.
Nope.
You don't think one player stumbled in and at least saw him in the locker room?
Football personnel did. Because if you remember, the I believe it was assistant coach or a worker with Jerry Sandusky and he heard noises when he walked into the locker room. And this is all during camp now here. This is during a camp where, you know, youth football camps come up. Sandusky was one of the guys running it. The football players are, you know, they're not even on. I mean, they might be on campus, but they have nothing to do with that camp.
Al,
I mean, they come in some days, but overall, the players, there was no reporting of a player specifically seeing Sandusky do something here.
Of course not, but that's because the athletic department went numb mums on it because they don't want any of the athletes talking about the whole case. That would open the floodgates.
I'm sure if a player saw something going on, something would have been going on where he reported this. You would hope so at least. But the players didn't commit any act here. This was one sick individual, one sick man who caused this whole fiasco, And he's the one that deserved to be punished here. And more so, and also, looking at the other end of this also, is I do believe that, you know, Joe Paterno and some of his assistant coaches, they kind of suspected something was going on, maybe not to that degree, and they kind of bit their tongue on it. Football players had nothing to do with it, though,
yeah, but Al,
as well as the
students. Let's look at it this way, and this is why I really do believe at least one player saw something.
No, Al, you're speculating.
No, and
you're speculating.
Of course
here.
I am. I'm giving you my opinion on it.
Right, but that's all speculation here. You don't know for sure.
You're giving your opinion as well. I mean,
Alex, you don't know for sure that as journalists, we can only go on what we know. We don't know for sure that a football player saw this going on or speculate this is going on because that wasn't reported.
That's, of course. Okay.
No football player has come out and said that.
Sure.
We do know that this sick individual committed these crimes at Penn State. We do know that for sure. He's convicted of it. He's behind bars as we speak. That's what we do know. Now, going on what we do know, and that's all you can do as NCAA personnel, why put the hammer down on the football team and take away their bowl eligibility, take away their scholarships for something that you don't know that they knew?
Well, remember,
it makes no sense.
Okay, so we'll get away from that point because I have a lot more thoughts on it. But
it makes no sense to me.
Aside from the bowl ban, and you want to talk more about the scholarships, the bowl ban, it makes sense because the players that work hard that whole year, they have the right to go to a bowl. I'm agreeing
right.
with you on that.
Exactly.
The bowl ban should be uplifted. But for the scholarships, the players that commit to Penn State, they're still getting a scholarship there. They're just losing, and when I say they, Penn State is losing 85 scholarships worth of money to give out.
Right, and how can you recruit
with that?
So
they're dipping into the funds. They're still going to recruit. It's just going to take them more time to get that. They're still offering scholarships. I mean— The players
that
are committing.
If you are a high school, highly touted high school prospect, why in the world would you go to a program who won't even be eligible for a bowl?
No, I agree.
When you can go to an Alabama, where you could go to an LSU, you could go to Oregon.
Sure.
Why go to Penn State? What's the incentive for going to Penn State, you know?
Yeah,
so that significantly hurts you. Now, this is another aspect that we have not that I wanted to get to that I didn't get to bring up. I think the NCAA also, and I always say, it's all about the Benjamins, baby. You know what I mean? Hey, money talks here. The NCAA sees moolah in making this move. When you make a move to restore scholarships and to make a team bowl eligible, like a Penn State, a program that historically is known for college football, when you make a program like that bowl eligible, people are going to tune in to see them more. You know, TV ratings are going to go up. This putting them in bowl contention now brings in money for the NCAA. That's the ulterior motive that is not being talked about here that I think had a lot to do with why they made this move, Alex.
And I agree. I think that definitely the Benjamins were part of it. But at the end of the day, I still think that Penn State losing money, like scholarship money, it's not like the players aren't going to get any scholarships. They're still going to get scholarships. Penn State losing money because of the Penn State's administration that made those moves. This isn't the players. The scholarships are solely within Penn State athletics. Athletics gives out those scholarships. I agree with the bowl that should be uplifted because of the players. But with the scholarships, I think that should still fall into place with two more years of no scholarship money.
I mean, so you think they should still take away the scholarships?
Yeah, because, I mean—
That's directly affecting the players, though.
No, the players are still getting scholarship. It affects the Penn State budget. If you look at it, Penn State's losing 85 scholarships worth of money, which means more donors need to donate money and more other media revenue.
Why take away scholarships for something that has nothing to do with this scandal, though? What do the scholarships have to do with it?
Because for Penn State, for colleges, you can't just take away money. You can't say, oh, you're fined $1.5 million. So the scholarships are the monetary value
I understand that money. I understand it, Alex, but I'm still not seeing the motive behind doing that, seeing as though the scholarships— And the players had nothing to do with this scandal.
You're taking it too literally, Al.
Why?
The scholarships.
What do you mean? Break it down.
Finding scholarships is not saying you're not going to have scholarships for the next 4 years to give out. You can't give any recruit a scholarship.
But I understand. But why do it in the first place, Alex? I guess that's my question. Why do that in the first place?
Well, because aside from the bull ban and the money that you get from that, they have to have some other punishment. I mean, they're not going to fire the whole Penn State administrative staff. So
it's the same reason why a team gets fined.
It's the same reason why an NFL team gets fined.
This is what I'm saying. This is a legal matter, Alex. Penn State as a whole And as far as the players go and the scholarships, that has nothing, nothing at all to do with what one sick man did. That's what I'm saying here. That has nothing to do with anything. What the punishment that was handed down to Sandusky, the man deserves to be behind bars. That's where all this punishment should happen. As far as the program goes, the program as a whole had nothing to do with what this man did, Alex. So that's why I totally agree with what the NCAA decided to do here. I thought it was the right move, and to be honest with everybody out there, it was very shocking to me, and I'm sure a lot of you out there, because let's be honest here, the NCAA never goes back and backtracks and reneges on something that they hand down, and which was really surprising to me. I thought it was the right move. I'm excited and I'm happy for that entire university. I'm excited for the players. I'm excited for the fans. And hey, Penn State has ideally held it down since this whole thing has gone awry, since this whole Jerry Sandusky scandal. I thought the program, you know, has really exceeded expectations. There were many people out there, including myself, that thought this program was totally going to fall off the map and totally disappear. But they have done a great job and put together quality seasons in lieu of this whole fiasco. Folks, we want to get your thoughts on it. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Before we hit the first break, Alex, as you just talked about, in our quick hit headliners, interesting new developments concerning the whole Ray Rice situation. Now, despite the NFL saying all week that it had not seen the full video of Ray Rice punching and knocking out his then fiance Janae Palmer last February, a source told the Associated Press that law enforcement had in fact sent the tape to someone at the league office in April. Now, in the AP story, it says a source played a voicemail from April 9th that came from a phone number at the NFL offices, in which a young female voice says the tape was received, expresses thanks, and says, quote, "You're right, it's terrible," end quote. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I tell you what, Alex, and it goes back to my original point. The NFL now is in a pickle here, in a huge, huge pickle. The NFL, let's be honest, I think we can both agree that the NFL could have and should have had this tape, and now might have had this tape all along, you know? With this new development, they actually have proof. This is a voicemail coming from a phone number at the NFL offices that has a female voice saying, yeah, the tape was received and expressing thanks about the whole thing. They are in a sticky, sticky situation. And Roger Goodell right now is taking a lot of heat, as well as he should. The national perception now of the NFL is now, again, at stake here. I mean, we always talk about the concussions on this show and how the NFL, you know, has been taking a lot of heat because of that, how they knowingly sort of let this whole, you know, situation protrude about its former players, knowing the detriments that concussions could have down the line and them being sued. The NFL took a hit on that and is still taking a hit on that, to be honest with you. And now to have this situation that has been taken, that nationally is getting so much press and so much talk. You have the National Organization for Women. They want Goodell fired. You had yesterday Senator Richard Blumenthal give his thoughts on it. He thinks Roger Goodell should be let go. I mean, it is really a sticky situation here. And now with this new information that was released yesterday about the AP saying that the NFL had this tape, if it is found and if it is proved and goes to the legal system, that it is proved that the NFL had this tape, oh boy, it looks really, really, really bad for the NFL, Alex.
Yeah, so just a little bit more background. You're getting the FBI involved.
Yeah, okay? The FBI is also federal, involved. Right.
And to make it more controversial, another organization or body, legal body, that has more controversy than this is the government itself. So you're getting a controversial government involved already in controversial issue, it's not a good match.
Yeah, now, I was like, Richard Blumenthal, he's weighing in on this? It's crazy.
The other people that are involved in this are two owners of NFL teams, if you saw that report. Now, obviously, that's a big concern because it's not like anyone from the NFL is involved in this. These are the owners or the Players Association. It's from an outside source. So obviously, there's probably some clause written in the NFL's legal or constitution that says that if there is a member that's acting out of accordance with policies, or if there's someone that isn't binding to what they agreed with when they took a position, then there is a certain protocol that goes with that. And the protocol must be these owners. It must be up to the owners of the teams.
And it's so interesting now, in that regard, because the owners are who basically employ Roger Goodell.
Yep.
You know, and it's going to be interesting to see that whole situation, if they back Roger Goodell or if they say, hey, man, you should have had this tape.
Now, at the end of the day, the real issue we need to debate, Al, is does Roger Goodell need to step down or will he go?
Right, and that's another thing I wanted to bring up. But as far as Roger Goodell being let go or fired, so to speak, oh, boy, I think he should be suspended. And this is the reason why I say that, Alex. I say that, you know, looking at this whole situation, even if it is found that this whole AP thing doesn't pan out and you know, the proof is not in the pudding, so to speak, and it pans out that, hey, the NFL didn't have the video in the first place, at the end of the day, the NFL should have had this tape, period. You can't tell me that the NFL, that, you know, I always say the NFL basically runs the sporting world, if you ask me. They could have had this tape, period, point blank, period. And the fact that they didn't, it makes the entire league look bad, look terrible, to be honest with you. And I just don't see how you don't take all the necessary precautions to make sure that you cover every single area and look into this story extensively before handing down your punishment. Roger Goodell messed up here. He definitely messed up here. And I think, if anything, he should be suspended, if anything. You know, maybe, I don't know how long the suspension should be, but if anything, he should step down because he is taking a lot of heat here.
Now, what will happen? I think he will be suspended if he doesn't step down. If he does step down or anything like that, then that's something different. But what I think should happen, although what's going to happen, I think, is going to be a suspension. What should happen is that I think he needs to step down or he needs to not be commissioner anymore, and here's why. The role of commissioner, just like any other organization, you're president, you were the president of your fraternity, you're the president of the United States, your role is to make sure the inner workings and the day-to-day duties of your administration, your right. organization, are up to par and are going smoothly, and there's no controversy. There's fairness.
Especially a story like this.
Especially a story like this. It's not like the NFL has ever hidden OJ's tapes when he committed a crime. It's not like the NFL has been hiding any other tape from any wiretaps, from any other calls, or any other fine or any other situation they've had. There hasn't been any shadiness. Now, it's not to say that Roger Goodell is the villain here. It's not that Roger Goodell was the guy that hid the tapes. We don't know. Even if he did, it doesn't matter. The point at the end of the day is, regardless who it was, if it was the VP, if it was some personnel director of the NFL, regardless, it doesn't matter who the person was that did it. Obviously, they need to go. But it was under Roger Goodell's watch.
Yeah, and
that's
it was.
What it was.
I wouldn't go as far as to say he should be fired, though. I'm a man who believes in second chances. He obviously made a huge, huge boo-boo here. Let him be suspended to show that the NFL is acting accordingly here and making sure that, hey, yeah, they messed up. Somebody needs to take the take a punishment here. It should be Roger Goodell, because I agree with you. He should have covered every single area. NFL personnel should have covered every single area, requested this tape. You can't tell me if TMZ had this tape, the NFL definitely should have had this tape. Mm-hmm. Come on now. I mean, it just looks really, really bad. But I believe, you know, give them a second chance. You know, this is a story that certainly does not look bode well nationally for them. But give them a second chance and move on, you know. And in many regards, I feel as though this story is getting a little bit too much. It's getting out of hand for me now.
But, Al, he won't even have a second chance. Do you realize how much damage?
If he gets suspended.
But do you realize how much damage has already been done with the concussion settlement, with the lawsuit?
Right. It doesn't look well as far as the national perception of the league.
I mean,
right.
Let's compare it to.
But as far as the concussion goes, that's not all on Roger Goodell, though. Let's be honest. This was years and years and years
of
just letting this happen and fizzle up.
He got dealt a bad card.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what that is.
But the point of the end of the day was the timing of the concussion, some of the quotes that were said by Goodell, some of the actions made and new policies implemented with new rules. There has just been so much leading up to this point in time that I don't think they will give him another chance just because of the situation. Like you said, it's not his fault. It's unfortunate.
But you know, the big thing here is looking at those owners. If those owners back Roger Goodell, he's got some clout in some way. He's got some credibility.
That's a great point.
The key to this.
And look at the NBA. And let's compare it to the situation with Donald Sterling. Sure, that was one man's action. And you could even argue that as much as the owners are the heads, technically it was under the commissioner's watch that players were happy with the owners.
Right.
And all that situation was going well. I thought the NBA handled it perfectly.
Yeah, they did.
There was nothing said or nothing hidden that the NBA did not do or that they should have done. And if you compare that to the NFL, there's no backlash. There's no shady business going on. It just seems like most of the other professional organizations handled it way better.
And support has a lot to do with it. Again, if those owners say, hey, he messed up, but we're still backing him. You know, he made a mistake here. That gives Rodgers some sort of credibility in this whole thing. Credibility is big with this whole thing. You know what I mean? If he gets some sort of backing within his organization, then you can argue that, okay, suspend him. Don't let him go, though. So, folks, we want to get your thoughts on it. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. If you want to give your thoughts on anything that we discuss here, and if you happen to be by a phone but can't pick it up because you're at work listening to the show, but, hey, you got your smartphone is open or your internet browser is open, and you still want to weigh in, hey, tweet me at AlMartinWKAR or go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. When we return, you'll get a sneak peek preview into tonight's Current Sports TV sit-down with Lansing Everett football coach Marcel Carruthers. We'll also give you our thoughts and memories as we take a look back at this day 13 years ago. Yeah, September 11th, folks. All of that and so much more. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. On this Thursday, Throwback Thursday is what Alex Shark likes to call as he is serenading us with some throwback music there. Is that Teddy? That's Teddy, right?
It is Teddy.
Teddy Pendergrass. I tell you what, growing up, man, they used to call me Teddy. I have a voice just like Teddy Pendergrass, Alex, as I used to serenade everybody. You know, I guess I think I have a voice like Teddy Pendergrass. But, hey, all right, folks, let's shift gears now. And like we do each and every Thursday here at 1 o'clock, we love to give you guys a sneak peek preview into the evening interview. Well, I should say the night interview on Current Sports TV. This week it will take place with Marcel Carruthers. Marcel Carruthers was an all-around athlete during his high school days, playing track, basketball, and football while graduating with all-state honors. Now, he continues to play football as a three-year starter at Central Michigan University and has currently begun his 15th season as Lansing Everett's head football coach. He was a starting quarterback over at CMU, an outstanding athlete, folks. I got a chance to sit down with Marcel for tonight's Current Sports TV interview. Again, you can catch it tonight at 10 p.m. on WKAR TV. And, I start off the interview by showing Marcel, the video that everyone has really seen of Ray Rice and Janae Palmer inside of the elevator. And Marcel had some interesting thoughts upon seeing the video for the first time.
The first thing I said to myself was, wow. I couldn't believe that he would take a shot like that at his fiance, the woman that he loves. And then to watch him, actually drag the body out after she was unconscious, I just couldn't fathom it. I mean, I can't wrap my mind around it because the way I was raised, you never put your hands on a woman. So when I saw it, I couldn't believe it to be true.
Just complete shock, right?
Shock, absolutely.
You know, something that really stands out to me, I was, doing just some research over time when this story broke. And the USA Today, they really have gone in depth as to sort of break down past punishments from NFL players dating all the way back to the year 2000. Just something really, really alarming here is that 83 domestic violence cases have been reported in the NFL since the year 2000. The most out of any other category when it comes to the NFL. I mean, sure. That's really alarming stuff there. Why do you think that is so? And why does it particularly happen in the NFL, Marcel?
Well, it's hard for me to answer on why it's happening in the NFL. I don't know if they're trying to sweep things under the carpet. But what I do know, they're not being consistent. I mean, you have all these NFL athletes who want to wear pink. They want to wear and support breast cancer awareness, which I think is awesome. But let's not forget, that's only 1 month out of the year. Let's continue to wear pink, but let's also continue to protect our women, because those men right there, they have daughters, they have mothers. So for them to put their hands on someone tells me they don't have the respect for their mother or their daughter. So I look at it as you have to expose it. And I think that Ray Rice's incident is going to expose a lot more.
Why do you think domestic violence is steadily increasing and becoming a problem over time in society?
You know, it's really hard for me to answer that question as well. But what I do know, a lot of times we take our anger out on things that we just don't think about. A lot of times we just want to react instead of sitting back and thinking about it. You know, Mom always said, you know, always think before you speak. Same thing. Why don't you think before you raise your hand and hit somebody? Because the consequences could be great.
Marcel, are you buying that the NFL, as you just heard, because new developments have come out where the NFL is saying that, you know, we didn't know that this video was out there. You know, we had insisted on getting it, didn't get any word back, but there's new developments saying that that anonymous official has, he sent this to the NFL, you know, and tried to make this happen. Sure. Are you buying that the NFL did not, so to speak, how should I say it, did not have the resources to get this video?
Well, no, definitely not. You know, there's always conflicting stories, but what's done in the dark always comes to light. So everybody's going to be exposed. And I think whether it be Roger Goodell or the police or, you know, the casino where it took place, it's all going to come out eventually. But the one thing I want to make sure that everybody understands, I love the sport of football. I love everybody who plays it. But the one thing we need is more personal development. So they're going to spend all their time trying to develop the young man on how to save his money, how to spend his money, but also has to be on how to protect, you know, the woman, how to love, how to show care and compassion. And I think that's part of it, because now you're trying to develop the whole man. And without that aspect, look what happens. You know, they're doomed to fail.
What do you think the punishment should be for Ray Rice?
He should be banned. Absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind. Absolutely.
He shouldn't play again.
As of right now, he shouldn't play. Unless he's able to prove to whomever's going to make that decision. But right now, he needs to learn a lesson. Because if you just suspend him for 2 games, what's he going to know? Well, okay, I'll get another 2-game suspension. Now it's 6. Now it's a year. No, he needs to know, because you're the poster child right now for what you should not do in the NFL.
Do you think he'll play again?
As of right now, I would say no.
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 Gotta love that. All right, folks. Well, if you want to weigh in on this, go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, or even tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. Well, you know, really kind of before we shift gears here, Marcel, you know, we have a few of your kids here, you know, members of the Lansing Everett football team. Great. I mean, you guys are 1-1 right now. Exciting that football is back. Yes. Now approaching week 3. I can't believe that.
Sure.
But, you know, when this incident did happen, I mean, have you talked to your team about domestic violence and how to carry themselves off the field as well?
Sure. We let them know, not only the young men who are in my class, but, the football program. What we want to talk to them about is this. You have girlfriends. And once again, things can happen. Somebody may say something. And sometimes you may want to lash out. You may hear certain things from people, but you just can't take it. You know, you have to sit back and think about what you're going to do, because a lot of times when you overreact, then you regret what you did. And so we talk to them about that all the time. And once again, it's all about the development of young men into manhood. So that's not the first time we talk about it. And we always talk about how to treat other people, including women.
All right. Well, Marcel, I want to talk about your playing career now. Now, you know, you were All-State. An all-conference, all-state and all-conference QB back in high school, a 2-year starting QB for Central Michigan University. Quite the career you had. What do you miss about playing, Marcel?
Well, I'll tell you what I don't miss. I don't miss getting hit all the time. but what I do miss is just the competitive thing about going up and playing against somebody else. So always enjoy the competition of playing football.
How did you stay out of trouble off the field?
My mother. I never want to disappoint my mom, and that's the first thing I've always thought about before I did something. And don't get me wrong, I wasn't the perfect person, but I always thought in the back of my mind, what would my mother say? You know, how would that represent my family? That was very important to me.
Certainly. Mama knows best, right?
Mother knows best.
Gotta love that. All right. Now, shifting now to your coaching career, you're an assistant coach at Ferris State University and at Central. Why did you decide to get into coaching? How did you get bit by the coaching bug?
Well, our head football coach, when I played under Herb DeRomedy, suggested. I said, well, you should be a coach. And I took it. I said, okay. So what he did, he made a phone call actually to Michigan State, and I'm not sure who he talked to, but I actually got a graduate assistant position under George Perlis. And I was there for a year, and from there I went on to Ferris State. So the connection came from Central Michigan's coach, Herb DeRomedy, to George Perlis at Michigan State. So that's how my foundation was set.
How was it, you know, being an assistant under George Perlis? I mean, being a graduate assistant, I should say, under George Perlis.
Unbelievable. It was a privilege and an honor to work under him and just to see him work. And the coaching staff and the people, I mean, with the Percy Snows and all those young men that played. So there was a great, great football team. And It was an honor for me. So I took a lot of the things that I learned from Coach Perlis and his staff on with me when I moved on to Fair State and Central Michigan.
Now, certainly from there, of course, you have been the head football coach over at Lansing Everett since 2000. The late Cindy Short, a big integral component into your hiring at that program. First of all, you know, it was such shocking news.
Yes.
Last year, around February, really just a crazy accident that happened and that took the life of Cindy.
Sure.
What do you remember the most about Cindy? Just kind of talk about what type of person she was.
Well, it's really ironic that I'm talking to you about this right now because this is really the first time I've ever had a chance to really speak about it because it's always been such a soft spot in my heart. But Cindy was definitely a people person. She loved students. And anybody who knows her knows that's exactly what she was for. There's a story if I can share with you.
Yeah.
Cindy, there was about 15 to 17 young men, our ESL students, which is English as a second language, who wanted to play soccer. Well, come to find out, they didn't have the money for their physical. So Cindy made sure out of her own pocket that those guys were able to get their physical. She actually contacted a doctor, brought them to Everett High School, got their physical, so they allowed them to play. So when I think about Cindy Short, that's what comes to my mind. When I say she was for the student, she truly was.
Out of pocket, she did that.
Out of pocket.
Unbelievable stuff. So when you came in the year 2000, I mean, how did you get hired? I mean, how did that whole process work with Cindy?
Well, I was at Eastern High School, and what happened, a principal I had, Mr. Cross, who was at Everett High School, and Mr. Glenn, the principal at Everett, and had a chance to meet them all and introduce them to Cindy Short. So went through the interviewing process, and Cindy was there. It was kind of funny because I remember her asking me a question, and I kind of looked at her like, well, how does she know so much about football? So we talked about that, but then before you know it, I was hired, and I guess the rest is history, as they say.
Is there anything that you take away from her life and legacy and you know, things that you learned from her that you still carry on now into your coaching career?
To be true to yourself and be true to your kids, because the greatest thing about being a teacher and a coach is when they come back and tell you, I miss this, I appreciate what you did, and I want to give back. And as of right now, I have four young men who I coach within my 15 years that are coaching for me right now on our staff, whether it be freshmen, JV, or varsity. So to me, that's an indication to our staff, our teachers, our school that we're doing the right thing.
Oh, boy, that says a lot. Give it up for that, guys. Give a hand clap for that. Oh, boy, gotta love that. Now, you know, coming into the program in 2000, you know, the state of the program wasn't, you know, where it should be or where it could be. And you came in and looking at the past 5 years, previous to the year 2000, there were actually only, you know, 5 wins in the past 5 seasons. Coming into a situation like that, Marcel, how do you go about building that foundation and putting the pieces back together?
Well, first you wanted to change the culture, obviously. So what we did, we made our students go and introduce themselves all over again to the teachers. We have a tradition at Everett High School that on homecoming, our young men actually invite the teachers to the homecoming pep assembly. So what they do is they'll invite them, they'll let them wear their jerseys. So the teachers walk out with our students during the pep assembly with their names on the back and things like that. So we try to incorporate, listen, yes, we're football players, but we're also students and we want to get the teachers involved. And that's been great for us. So once again, we're trying to change the culture by incorporating a student athlete. Well, hey, you might as well get to know your teachers. So that's worked out for the most part because without the teachers, couldn't have a football team.
So just making it an overall just type of family
it
type
is,
of atmosphere.
It truly is the family, and that's from administration on down, absolutely.
Gotta love that. Now, you know, Marcel, for you, you know, coming into a situation like that again, I mean, what was the biggest hurdle for you to overcome?
Well, the biggest hurdle when the students that I had was obviously knowing how to win. And, you know, our first year was only 1 win, and our second year was only 2 wins. But what happened was you saw a difference. The dedication, they worked in the summer, they worked out in the weight room, and the grades went up. So we saw there was a change. And, you know, some of those young men still come back to this day and said, well, we started this. And they did. They built the foundation for these young men who are sitting here right now. So we had to change the culture as far as the attitude. But we also did. We taught them how to win. And success breeds success.
That is so true. All right, Marcel, before we let the 12th man get at you, I got to bring up your guys' record right now. You guys, of course, started the season 1-1 right now. Lost to East Kentwood to start the year. Then had a big win over Jackson. Mm-hmm. Where's the status of this team right now, and how far do you think you guys can go?
Well, you know, once again, old cliche, it's one game at a time. We bounced back from a loss, you know, the first week. kids played well on Saturday. I mean, we took it from a rained out Friday night, and those guys are so motivated to come back and play. A lot of guys just left their uniforms on their shoulder pads, like, oh, we just can't wait to get back in. So we brought them in at 8 o'clock in the morning. They were ready to rock and roll. Not one guy was late, not one guy complained. And what we did was kind of funny. We talked about their Little League days, because typically on a Saturday, you know, Friday night's high school football. Mm-hmm. Saturday's for Little League. So we talked about their Little League and who they played for. And that was, to me, that was our all-star Little League team that played that Saturday morning. So the kids got involved with that, so it was pretty good.
That's good. That plays in the mental aspect of things,
absolutely,
right? Just to sort of rewind time
sure,
a little bit, right?
Sure.
Was it tough for you at all to kind of keep them focused? I mean, you get rained out. You're ready, you're amped up, ready to play a game. Then the rain starts coming down on Friday. It rained us out. We couldn't even show the game. And then you have to wait another day to play. I mean, how do you stay focused and in that moment?
Well, our young men, you know, we have great leadership. Our young men did it. It's funny because you have a young man here this evening who never took his uniform off. I want him to take the shoulder pads off. He's like, this is a cool off.
He left it on the entire night.
He kept it on the whole night and just sat there in the locker room and waited to play and had a great game the next day.
So, and who was that, Marcel? Was he
it? Was,
right
it was Lloyd Hines. And he kept it gotcha. On the whole night. And I tell you what, it meant a lot to him. So we got a chance to get it in and get it done.
All right, Marcel, again, before we wrap up this thing, you know, I had Dan Bogan on not
sure.
too long ago to talk about this. Of course, you guys play in the same division, the CAAC
yes.
Blue.
Yes.
He's the head coach of Lansing Sexton. Got to ask you, how bad are you chomping at the bit to win a state championship?
Well, that's, you know, that's our ultimate goal. You know, we know Dan and those guys are really close, and I'm a big fan of his. And I congratulate him. We talk about it all the time, you know, up until the week that we play each other. But once again, once the clock strikes zero, then we're all friends again. But I'm very happy for him. But our goal ultimately is to win a state championship. And we shoot for that all the time. We never have a goal lower than that.
You think you guys can win it this year?
I would hope so. That's what we went in. We want to try it.
All right. Gotta love that. Marcel, a classy, classy guy. Again, you can catch Current Sports TV tonight, 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV. You also get to hear from the 12th man as his team, his players, has some interesting questions for coaches, including a interesting superstition that Marcel Carruthers has. You'll also get to see me sweat a little. Yes, I took a trip out to Spartan Performance as they put me through a one-hour training regimen. Pretty funny video there. And all of that and so much more tonight, 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV. You don't want to miss it, folks. All right, let's go into Throwback Thursday. Let's take a look at what happened on this day, a pretty, pretty touchy day in our nation, September 11th. Let's take a look at what happened first in sports on this day, September 11th.
But the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Eisenman back over his step. Into the spot for Brown. Shoots. Yes.
All right, Throwback Thursday here on Current Sports, where we take a look at what happened on this Thursday in sports history. A really brief one here. Back in 1943, the NHL approved the Hockey Hall of Fame. The official building for the Hall of Fame, I should say, was not open until August 26th, 1961, on the grounds of the Canadian National Exhibition. Gotta love that. 1959, Roy Face ended a 22-game winning streak. He finished the season 18-1. Roy Face, of course, for Pittsburgh. In 1974, the St. Louis Cardinals and the New York Mets set a National League record when they played 25 innings. What a long game. Now, it was the second longest game in professional baseball history at the time. 1985, Pete Rose of the Cincinnati Reds achieved hit number 4,192 to break the record held by the great Ty Cobb in 1987. Howard Johnson of the New York Mets became the first National League infielder to hit 30 home runs and steal 30 bases in the same season. What a season for him. And in 1999, Brett Favre, yes, big, great old Favre, gotta love Brett Favre, and Robert Brooks of the Green Bay Packers completed a 99-yard touchdown reception against the Chicago Bears to tie an NFL record. Alex, you got anything else?
We actually missed one yesterday. Guess whose birthday was yesterday
when
Chauncey retired?
Who's that?
Ben Wallace.
Really? It was Ben Wallace's birthday.
Ben Wallace's birthday.
That's kind of an interesting fact
for Wednesday. The same day that Chauncey retired. So.
Wow. Well, interesting stuff there. All right. Well, there's Throwback Thursday for you, folks. Got to love that when we take a look at it and take a quick peek into sports history. And to wrap up our show, of course, today is a day that pulls on the heartstrings of many, many throughout our nation. Many of you out there listening can remember the exact time, date, of course, the date, but place that you were when you heard the frightening news that America was under attack by terrorists in New York City as planes hit the Twin Towers in downtown New York at the World Trade Centers. Boy, oh boy, I remember I was in middle school. Again, I had been pulled right out of class by my grandmother in sixth grade. Didn't really know what really had happened. Didn't know about terrorism at that point. My grandparents, we came home, we turned on the news coverage and saw the horrific images of what took place that morning and throughout the day. A day I will never forget. I just can't believe it's now been, 13 years now? 13 years since that incident has taken place. Alex, where were you when this whole thing took place, man?
Yeah, no, I was in school as well, definitely in the morning, and we actually saw it live happening on television.
They showed you it at school.
It was already on. What happened was the teacher wanted to, see what was going on with it, and she just turned it on. And the moment she saw what was happening, she was like, all right, everyone just has to go. So,
wow, unbelievable stuff.
Pretty hard to deal with.
And you know what, folks? Throughout the entire semester here, for the fall semester, I should say, on Current Sports, we have a group of outstanding students, sort of like last year, who will be helping out with the show day in and day out. Jern 418, I believe, is the class. Some outstanding students, and we have one here who has done a great job throughout the morning helping us prep for today's show, who also wants to share some memories. How you doing, Andrew?
Doing well, Al. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, man. And you know what? Just to really quickly, to wrap up our show, we have to talk about, just this incredible moment, a moment that, again, none of us will forget. Where were you, and what will you take away from that day, Andrew?
I was sitting in third grade in Miss Cameron's class, and one of the second grade teachers ran across the hall and said they have flown planes into some buildings in New York, and I'm in third grade, so that doesn't really mean anything to me. And they put it on the TV, and we watched it, and we were in school until I think about noon. Then our parents came and picked us up. And it didn't really hit me how huge it was until I saw my dad, who came to pick me up from school. And he's usually a pretty stone-faced guy, but he was freaked out and visibly upset about what had happened. And that was the point where I was like, okay, this is way out of my league. I mean, at the time, it didn't mean anything to me. It was just something far away. It wasn't concrete. It was just kind of on TV. So now looking back at it, imagining if it happened now, I can't even process the way that I would feel.
Right. You would react totally differently, I'm
Absolutely.
Sure. So you also got caught out of school early then, or was it after school?
No, it was during school. We got called out. They released the whole school. Nervous for me. I got an uncle in the Air Force. So when the thing in the with the Pentagon happened, that was the first thing that I thought of was how close is he to that? Where's he? You know, is everything all right with that? And then it was just kind of figuring out what happened and figuring out what all went wrong. And like I said, when you're in third, I'm 8 years old. It's
yeah, I mean, you can't really put it into words. I mean, because you don't know what's going on.
Right.
Exactly. Boy, oh boy, folks. Again, if you have any memories, folks, our Facebook page is open, facebook.com/currentsports. Also, tweet me at Al Martin WKR. Never forget, folks. Never forget September 11th. Our hearts and thoughts go out to all of those who are still affected to this day from that moment. The families who lost loved ones. Hey, we send our condolences out. And man, oh man, such a powerful day. All right. Well, thank you all out there for tuning in to another edition of Current Sports. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and 90.5 WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. As always, take care, have one fantastic afternoon, and hey, as always, be easy, people.